And welcome to this edition of the Healthy Planet radio program. My name is Bob DiBenedetto, your host for the best hour of your life. That's right, the one that's always happening in front of you at all times, right now. The Healthy Planet radio show is part of our nonprofit health and environmental education organization, Healthy Planet, and focuses on topics that will help to educate you about the deep connection among all life on Earth and the powerful effects your everyday choices can have on creating a clean, healthy, and compassionate world, which is what we all want. Well, this is a special edition of The Healthy Planet because I'm right now standing in the woods, in the middle of nature, trees, animals, insects, all those guys all around me, but not a whole lot of people. And I've been off for a little while now, dealing with family health issues that happen in one's life, of course. That's part of living, is dying. But coming back, I was looking at the possible topics and what's going on. I see what the Supreme Court just did in terms of destroying clean water protection and various other stories that are coming up, and I just didn't feel like going to the negative yet. So I said, what is it that is making me feel alive recently? And it is being in nature. Going back and forth between some of the hospitals and centers that I've been going to in the last couple of months, I've been passing by trails. And these trails are trails that I've been on, some of them, but I haven't been on others. And I see them and I say to myself, one day I'm going to go. But I always wait for someone else to go with me on a trail. And so I don't often go. It's not as frequent as I'd like to. It used to be, earlier days when I was working in New York City in the financial field, every single one of my vacations was backpacking in one part of the country or another. But these days, it's more local trails and then the occasional vacation to the woods. But we have a wealth of wonderful trails on Long Island. And so, the topic of this show is nature. We're not going to talk about what nature is. We're going to talk about our experience of nature. So how many of you go out on trails? How many of you feel different when you go out on a trail than when you're at home? Being in nature brings you something. It brings you scientifically validated benefits. We'll talk about those a little bit later. But it also gives you the sense of peace that, in terms of my experience, is something that you have to work harder to get elsewhere. You can get a sense of peace anywhere and everywhere. But when you go into nature, it's kind of handed to you. It's like, okay, here you are. Open up. So when we get into nature, what's going on in our minds? What's going on in our bodies? Well, in our minds, probably as we're entering nature, we're wrapped up. We're not where we are. We're anticipating where we're going. We're thinking about where we've been. We're planning what's going to happen afterwards. We're in our normal work home mind, which is lists and to-dos and accomplishments and all that. But when you get into nature, there's a process that happens that enables you to let go of all that and kind of just be present. It's kind of like meditation, which I've talked about before on this show. But it's also like something everyone can probably relate to, going to a concert. You're watching amazing music, performances of all kinds. And as you're watching this, you're intently watching sometimes, but other times you're planning and you're thinking of things and you're thinking about, oh, maybe I should have done that, or maybe I could do this better at work or with my family or whatever it is. And you're getting into a space where, because you're not thinking, thoughts are arising, but on a different level than day to day, because it's giving you that space to let everything rise to the top. Everything is coming up that otherwise would be suppressed by all of your busyness and your planning and your day to day. And that's what nature enables you to do. Now, when I come into nature, I have that that same release and letting go. It's an enlightenment of sorts, the more time you spend in nature. You don't have to think all mystical and spiritual. You could just think a lightening, a letting go, dropping the things that you're holding, dropping the tension in your body, dropping the thoughts on your mind. You have an opportunity to have an enlightenment. And so here I am, visiting the other side of the brain that I normally am when I go into nature by taping this radio show. And we want to talk about a number of things over the next 45 minutes to an hour. And while I'm here, I'm going to talk about some of the things that I think about when I'm in nature that I have found really give you a different connection, a different experience than you might have if you're going with a crowd of people and then talking about yesterday and today and tomorrow and all that kind of thing. And that experience is one of being connected. So how do you get connected? What does that mean? It's not just mumbo jumbo. It's really a physical, living connection that I'm talking about. And that means letting all of your senses work instead of just your mind. All your senses. So as you're walking through nature, eventually you'll start to hear things that you weren't hearing before. So another thing, instead of waiting for that to happen, you can consciously open up your ears. Open them up as wide as you can. Right now, for me, I hear the rustling of leaves in the wind. I hear my footsteps as I'm walking. Now, you could hear all the birds probably around here right now. Now, I don't know about you, but I really, actually, truly, I get happy when I hear birds singing, if I'm listening, of course. And I hear distant traffic. That's right, traffic. We're on Long Island. I do like going to nature spots where there isn't traffic in the distance, but you know what? It's beautiful just the way it is with the traffic. Because a lot of trails don't have miles on either side of them. But everything that I can see and everything that I'm smelling is nature. So there's that. But there's also my reaction to the traffic that is present. Sometimes I'm walking and it's like, I don't really want to hear that traffic. So I like noticing that aversion that I have. And then saying, you know what? That's okay. That's what I've got in this nature experience. So I said it's letting go, right? Part of letting go is being present. So if you're having an experience that's causing you agitation in the background and you're not being present with that, then that's going to be part of your experience, but it's going to be unnoted and it's going to be something that you're not accepting. So if you note it and see aversion, then the aversion is part of what's that? It's part of your consciousness. It's part of your awareness. So that's a good thing to do. And you could do that. Maybe you're feeling too hot. Maybe you're feeling too tired. Notice those things too. So the first thing I mentioned is what we're hearing. The second is what we're seeing. Now that'll change greatly once you pay attention to it. Because at first, as you're walking, you're looking at the trail, you glance up occasionally, you see the trees, you say, oh, it's so beautiful. And that's fine. But we can have a deeper level of vision, of seeing things. And as I'm walking along this trail, and I open my eyes, and I don't mean open in that they were shut before, but I mean open in terms of opening them up to a greater part of the experience, I'm seeing not just the trees, I'm seeing the colors, and I'm seeing the different light of the sun coming through the trees. And I'm seeing the light as it hits things in different ways. On one side of the tree, it's got a lightness. The other side, there's a shadow. By the way, your awareness is shifting back and forth between all of these things that I'm going to be mentioning that I've mentioned already. So if you're looking at viewing, seeing, you're not just focusing on seeing. That's just your main object of attention at that time. But you're also going to go back and forth between hearing and smelling. And we'll get to that soon. So visually, it's just so beautiful. If I look toward the sun, it's one landscape. If I look away from the sun, it's another. It's just an amazing, beautiful interplay of light that we look at artwork, right? We see a beautiful piece of art. We go to museums to look at art. And what we're doing is we're going to a museum to look at the interpretation that some artist had of reality, all right? And that interpretation that that artist had can be so amazing and so accurate that it can be moving. But guess what? We live in that artwork. We live in that palette. And yet we ignore it. We go to museums to be in awe of art. But especially in nature, it's so easy just to look at this. I'm looking at a scene right now that is just the most beautiful thing that I can imagine. The greenery and the light and the textures and the different slopes, the elevations all around me and the roots all over the ground and the pine needles. It's just magical. So there's looking at things, but there's also where your focus is. There are some books I used to read on wildlife. If any of you are familiar with Tom Brown's book on wildlife and tracking, nature exploration, he talks about something called splatter vision. Splatter vision is where you're not focused on any one particular thing. You're not looking at the ground in front of you. You're not looking at a tree in front of you, but you're focused on the horizon with a wide view. And what splatter vision enables you to do is to see movement all around you, to see what's all around you. So if you're quietly coming up a trail and you have splatter vision and you see an animal movement, you're going to be able to capture that more than if you're focused on one thing here or one thing there. Use splatter vision. It's a very wide view, a wide focus. It's something that you practice. It's like when you're driving, you're not looking at one particular thing often. You're looking at the road and everything around you because you need to be aware of what's coming and what you need to deal with. So you've opened up your sense of hearing. You've opened up your sense of sight. But you can also put together with that, and you will put together with that once you realize it. A lot of times you come into the woods again, you're just thinking, then you see things, then you start opening up the other senses. How about what you're smelling? I hear a bird in the background, and that took my attention just now. And that's what it's supposed to do, because that's the reality that you've got right there. Let your attention go back and forth between the smelling, the seeing, the feeling. So how about the smelling? There are amazing scents where I am right now. And I see why that is. I'm surrounded by pine needles. And so when you see these pine needles, you understand that these have been collecting here from all those beautiful pine trees that are above us that you don't even see because they're so high. But if you look up, the scent brought you to the reality of the view that we otherwise might have ignored. Not have seen. Now, here's something else I like to do with scents. When you see pine needles, or you see dirt, or you see water, or whatever it is, don't just look at it. Also, quoting from Tom Brown, when you're in nature, and I talk about smelling the pine needles and all the other things that you can do to immerse yourself in nature, he says, when you see a swamp, sink knee-deep in the primal ooze. Don't just stand there and look at it. Take off your shoes. Take off your pants. Go knee deep into the primal ooze. That's the spirit of getting involved with enjoying nature as a part of it, as opposed to as a spectator. Let's go to another sense. Let's go to feel. You pick it up. That's pine needles right there. You know what I do? I scrunch them up in my fingers. And then I smell that. Ah, just amazing. I'm inhaling right now, and it's working. Pine needles are one of the most amazing things to crush and get on your hands and smell your fingers and just, mmm. So now I've got this picture opening up where I'm hearing, I'm seeing, I'm feeling, I'm touching, and I'm smelling. And I'm thinking, I'm aware. Are you aware of your thinking? That's a good thing too, because otherwise you get lost in it. If you pinpoint it and say, I'm aware right now of this thinking, then that's part of your experience, part of your awareness, instead of something that's happening in the background and perhaps distracting you from what you think you ought to be thinking about. So now, since I started talking about this, my experience of walking in these woods is a much richer experience, because I've opened up all of these different doorways. I've opened up all these different aspects of my experience that were pretty much, even for myself, I'm experienced at doing this and meditating and taking nature in many different ways, but I have to open myself up. And it is, right now, this experience that I've attempted to bring you on has brought me to a different place as well. You're listening to WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook. This is Bob DiBenedetto with the Healthy Planet Radio Show. You're listening to a show that was taped on a nature trail on Long Island, and I'm actually bringing you along for my nature experience, for a walk. So we're going for a walk together. The point of this show is to increase your appreciation of nature and to increase your experience and the benefits that you reap from going out into nature. I hope the insights that I share on this journey help you to experience nature in a fuller way for the rest of your life. And now back to the trail. Now, the other thing that we can feel is how our body feels. How do the feet feel when they're hitting the trail? What is that like? What do your legs feel? Your arms? Your lungs? When I go into nature, I like to run. I love running uphill on trails. And I don't love running on the streets. You know, it's okay. I mean, I like it because I know it's good. I know it's good for my body. But, you know, you feel like you're bouncing a lot and a lot of impact. And when I'm running up a trail, I don't feel that. I just feel like an animal running through the woods. And that's an amazing thing to feel. You know why it's amazing? Because we are animals. We're all animals. And we're animals that don't remain in our habitat. We don't stay in our habitat for that much of our lives. We're in offices, we're at homes, we're in these enclosures. And yet, we're animals who no longer experience nature. And when you're an animal who no longer experiences nature, you can be a Supreme Court justice who votes to not limit air pollution and water pollution. That's the outcome. Gosh, I'm just seeing right now the sense of, this is an Andromeda. Beautiful flowers, just beautiful white with pink spots in them and markings. And the scents that are coming to me. Now, this doesn't happen in your living room. What happens in your living room is no less. It's no less good than what's happening now. But the appreciation of nature, again, is something that is unheralded in terms of opening us up to being in our natural environment. And well, we'll talk about some of the health aspects later. But there's nothing quite like being in nature. Beautiful, beautiful flowers on this tree. So yeah, running, to me, again, for some reason, since ticks have arrived on Long Island, you can't roll in the woods anymore. So one of the ways that I can be in the woods more is by running. And when you run, I think I'm going to do a little bit of that right now. Got a gentle upward slope here. See, this is what I was in the mood for right here. This is what I was in the mood for. Coming back to radio. When you running, you also have to be very aware, because if you're not, you fall. You trip. And that's never a good thing. So let's talk about, a little bit more about the speed at which you go. How fast or slow should you go in nature to have a full experience? I was going downhill there, so I had to hold on for a moment. Oh, that's good. A little sprint uphill. There's nothing like it with the way your lungs work and your breathing. And I'm just in this new spot now, which is entirely incredibly beautiful. Just incredibly beautiful in the sense here. And with my lungs doing some extra work, I'm breathing even more. What a nice thing. So, what speed should you go at? Whatever speed you'd like. I realize that something that's nice about hiking by yourself is that there's no shoulds. When you're going with other people, you kind of have to be aware of, and I love going with other people, by the way, but you have to be aware of who can do what your limitations are, what other people want. When you're by yourself, you can stop, you can run, you can, well, I don't sit too much in nature, unfortunately, due to the tick situation. You can go wherever you want. You can go on any trail that you want. So I'm coming up this trail that I've walked on before, and I see an offshoot, another trail. And this trail is going someplace. I have no idea where this is going. I can do it. I can take it. I don't have to worry about it being inappropriate or something that other people might not want to do. I can just follow this. I have no idea where I'm going right now. So nature is also an adventure. And this adventure happens at your speed, at your pace. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, if you're with a group of people and you want to have a great experience where you don't feel either compelled to go too fast or hindered from traveling at your speed, it's no problem. You could go with people who walk at all different speeds. And here's the trick. You go out together, and if you're of the running variety, you go and run. But you also come back. So you run for a while, you run back, join the group. They're still walking at their pace. So it's not like you have to feel like, this isn't working, these people aren't right for me. You can make it work right. Just the people who go faster, they turn back every so often and come back. And it's not like you're repeating something that you don't want to repeat. Like, I've got to go over that terrain again. No, you're just getting to experience that beauty all over again. And if you're running, you're taking in less of the details anyway. So going back a second time is A-okay. So go out with friends. Enjoy that aspect of your nature experience. Yeah, I think one thing we've talked about in the past is how being aware, well, this is a very interesting little trail I'm on right now, but being aware and being in nature, I'm going uphill, by the way, thus the heavy breathing, which I love. But when you're in nature and you're getting that experience of letting go and being connected, it gives you a really nice canvas. If you're working in anything dealing with the environment, as I do, it gives you a really nice canvas to work off of. Hi. Do you feel like saying a few words to a radio show on WUSB?
Okay.
Okay. Tell me just your first name.
Joan.
All right. Now, on this trail I mentioned then, we come across everything, the trees and the birds and the smells. Well, I've just come across Joan. Joan is another hiker. Joan, why do you come into nature?
Because it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Soothes my mind. I love the smells. I love the air. And this place in particular is very solitary and the most peaceful and quiet. I don't know why, but it's not nearly so populated as the big state parks, for example. And it's just so relaxing and so chill and just... I've been having dizziness, but in the woods I'm not dizzy. I can walk for 3 or 4 miles, and then I go into a store and I think I'm going to pass out. So it's really weird.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but that's why I won't climb down the cliffs. I'm going back in a minute, because this gets very steep here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've been enjoying some of the slopes.
Yeah, yeah, but not my current state.
That's
good. Come a little bit and then I turn around and I go back.
Right. And so when you come out here intentionally, because
absolutely,
it does for you
absolutely,
what you
absolutely.
What is it when you go home, do you feel different?
Yeah, I feel energized and better and movement. My father said that. He was of Russian descent. He said, once they've got you lying down, it's all over. And he's right. You've got to move.
Yeah.
But moving outdoors, moving in a beautiful place. Before I was getting dizzy, I would often walk around the neighborhood. There's no comparison between being here and in the traffic. I mean, there's just no comparison.
It's true. It's very different. It's wonderful there, and you could have a beautiful life there. But when you're out here, you access things that are just not easily accessible there.
Yeah, and it's great that we have so many areas like this close by.
We could ignore them. Yeah. I was just saying how for years I've driven by these trails because I was waiting for friends to be available to do it with me, and now I've been coming out by myself.
Yeah.
Do you come out with friends, or do you always do this by yourself?
Rarely, because it's hard to team up your likes. Like, I don't like it when it gets too hot. Then I'm more likely to have to walk by the beach and later in the day, at the end of the day. So I like this weather. This weather's great and cooler. And, you know, finding people who exactly of your temperament and are free when you want to be free. And it's hard to say I'm going to go hiking at 3 o'clock. Because at 3 o'clock, you may prefer to do it at 5 o'clock, you know? So it's very hard to find someone that coordinates exactly with your time.
Right.
And I live alone, so that makes it harder. So I don't have someone I can bribe into walking with me.
That's great. Yeah. I've never been up this trail going this way.
It goes into more civilized territory. So, yeah.
Okay.
So we're not far.
All right, I'll take it to that point and then head back.
Okay.
I just want to say that thank you to Joan for accompanying me over the last 15 minutes, taking some really nice trails that I've never been on. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you. What's your name?
It's Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. So, little did I know, coming into nature, that I would meet someone and... she would repeat some of what I've said already, because that's just the wisdom that is in the woods. And she brought me on some trails that I'd never been on before. And so I learned something new. Anyway, we're going to take a little break for station ID. We'll be back in 30 seconds. And you're listening to a very special edition of the Healthy Planet radio program on WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook. This is Bob DiBenedetto, and I am walking through the woods on this recording. And I am taking you on a journey of nature appreciation and mindfulness in the way that I have been doing throughout my entire life. And now back to the trail. So I'm back on the trail by myself and just recapping some of what we've gone over is when you go into nature, it's your opportunity to let go. And helping that let go right now, right in front of me, beautiful bird sitting on the trail. So I stopped a little bit. Helping that and helping that connection, helping that get in touch with the environments that is a part of our animal nature. We open our eyes. We look at the colors. We look at the light. We look at the shadows. we smell. And not just smell what's in the air. Go put your nose up to a flower. Smell the bark of a tree. Crush some pine needles in your finger. Crush some soil. Just feel what, smell what the soil is like. In California, in one of my backpacking trips, we would always smell this one tree that, just because we went around smelling trees, it smells like maple syrup. This tree smells very good too. Whatever it is, it's a pine tree. Yeah, beautiful smelling bark. So we smell, we see, we hear, we open up our ears. We touch, feel what the bark of the tree looks like. Touch some of the roots in the ground. Touch the soil. Touch a leaf here and there. Now, we haven't used our sense of taste here, but if you know what you're doing, that's a nice one to bring into play too. This bird is following me, it seems like. It's a robin, and it alternates from being on the path to being in one of the bushes where I'm walking by. But not ever flying too far away. It's very nice. Yeah, if you can see plants that you know are safe, which is one thing I love to do here, that's a nice addition to the experience of being in nature. And when you put all this together, you get a dish of wonderful. I read an article recently about how people strive for happiness. It's like, I want to be happy. They think that's the end goal. And being happy is a wonderful thing. And it goes along with all the other emotions. But they were saying that something that leads to more happiness, more than trying to be happy, is putting yourself into experiences where you get a sense of wonder. The wondrousness of life appears to you. And that's not something that comes along too often, really, if you think about it. But it's something that I can't avoid when I step into nature. Like right now. So I'm encouraging you to get out into nature, to take these steps, because only good comes out of being connected to our environment. And you never know what it's going to lead to. But once you have that awareness, you are a force for the protection of this amazing resource that we have. Right now, I'm just hearing the breeze, feeling the breeze. Just amazing. I encourage you to do the same. Now I'm going to take another run, and I won't bring you along for that. Had a nice uphill run. I'll just end with the fact that whether you come to woods by yourself or with people, you can have this amazing experience. If you come with people, the tendency is to talk about things. And that's nice. I love walking through the woods and talking about things. But I also like to create some time where there is silence. I used to lead walks that were silent. Go through nature, no talking. Not like this one, because you ruined my silent experience by listening to this radio show. But, no, you didn't. This was nice. It's like having a buddy, an invisible buddy with me. But go out with people. Take some time. Say 5 minutes. Walk in silence. See if you can notice things that you hadn't noticed before. Smell things, see things that you hadn't seen before. You can point to each other, to things that you're noticing. See if you can keep it silent. And if you haven't done this before, trust me, a whole new world of nature will open up to you. And there's something else to be gained by remaining quiet while you're walking. And that is, when you're talking, making a lot of noise, any creatures that hear you coming are going to get away from you. So especially if you're in a place like a national forest where you have the ability to see deer and bear. Yes, I like to see them, but you might want to be careful. It's very important to remain quiet as you're walking. Because especially if you're in a place that does have a wealth of wildlife, you're going to be able to perhaps come upon them without them knowing and quietly watch them doing what they do. But if you're talking a lot, making a lot of noise, they're going to clear away long before you get there. And even as you walk through nature, because I've been out here for a little while, the sun is going down, it's getting lower in the trees, and the experience that I experienced as perfect before is now very different and just as perfect. On that note, we're going to move to the studio portion of this and some other interviews. This is WSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook. This is Bob DiBenedetto on the Healthy Planet radio program, talking about nature and how to enjoy it, how to make it an even more in-depth experience than it might otherwise be. The previous segment of this show was recorded on a trail in the woods on Long Island, and now we're going to move to the studio. We've been talking about the benefits of closely observing and connecting with all of your senses in nature. So I talked about the experience of being in nature and how to increase the benefits you derive from being in nature. But I wasn't talking in a scientific sense. I was talking from a personal experience sense. So now what I'd like to do is switch sides of the brain. And I'm going to read to you portions of an article from American Psychological Association called Nurtured by Nature. Psychological research is advancing our understanding of how time in nature can improve our mental health and sharpen our cognition. It goes on to say, be honest. How much time do you spend staring at a screen each day? For most Americans, that number clocks in at more than 10 hours, according to a 2016 Nielsen Total Audience report. Our increasing reliance on technology, combined with a global trend toward urban living, means many of us are spending ever less time outdoors, even as scientists compile evidence of the value of getting out into the natural world. From a stroll through a city park to a day spent hiking in the wilderness, exposure to nature has been linked to a host of benefits, including improved attention, lower stress, better mood, reduced risk of psychiatric disorders, and even upticks in empathy and cooperation. Most research so far has focused on green spaces, such as parks and forests, and researchers are now also beginning to study the benefits of blue spaces, places with river and ocean views. But nature comes in all shapes and sizes, and psychological research is still fine-tuning our understanding of its potential benefits. In the process, scientists are charting a course for policymakers and the public to better tap into the healing powers of Mother Nature. Lisa Nisbet, PhD, a psychologist at Trent University in Ontario, Canada, who studies connectedness to nature, says, there is mounting evidence from dozens and dozens of researchers that nature has benefits for both physical and psychological human well-being. She also says, you can boost your mood just by walking in nature, even in urban nature, and the sense of connection you have with the natural world seems to contribute to happiness, even when you're not physically immersed in nature. The article goes on to say, spending time in nature can act as a balm for our busy brains. Both correlational and experimental research have shown that interacting with nature has cognitive benefits. A topic University of Chicago psychologist, Mark Berman, PhD, and his student, Catherine Schertz, explored in a 2019 review. They reported, for instance, that green spaces near schools promote cognitive development in children, and green views near children's homes promote self-control behaviors. Adults assigned to public housing units in neighborhoods with more green space showed better attentional functioning than those assigned to units with less access to natural environments. And experiments have found that being exposed to natural environments improves working memory, cognitive flexibility, and attentional control, while exposure to urban environments is linked to attention deficits. Researchers have proposed a number of ideas to explain such findings, as Nisbet and colleagues described in a review of the benefits of connection with nature. The biophilia hypothesis argues that since our ancestors evolved in wild settings and relied on the environments for survival, we have an innate drive to connect with nature. The stress reduction hypothesis posits that spending time in nature triggers a physiological response that lowers stress levels. A third idea, attention restoration theory, holds that nature replenishes one's cognitive resources, restoring the ability to concentrate and pay attention. The truth may be a combination of factors. Quote, stress reduction and attention restoration are related, end quote, Nesbitt points out. Quote, and because of the societal problems we're dealing with in terms of stress, both of these theories have gotten a lot of attention from researchers. End quote. Experimental findings show how impressive nature's healing powers can be. Just a few moments of green can perk up a tired brain. In one example, Australian researchers asked students to engage in a dull, attention-draining task in which they pressed a computer key when certain numbers flashed on a screen. Students who looked out at a flowering green roof for 40 seconds midway through the task made significantly fewer mistakes than students who paused for 40 seconds to gaze at a concrete rooftop. Even the sounds of nature may be recuperative. Berman and colleagues found that study participants who listened to nature sounds like crickets chirping and waves crashing performed better on demanding cognitive tests than those who listened to urban sounds like traffic and the clatter of a busy cafe. While such laboratory experiments are intriguing, they don't fully capture the diverse benefits that go hand in hand with time spent in the outdoor world, says Cynthia France, PhD, a professor of psychology and environmental studies at Oberlin College in Ohio. Quote, spending time in nature has cognitive benefits, but it also has emotional and existential benefits that go beyond just being able to solve arithmetic problems more quickly. End quote. In a review of the research, Gregory Bratmans, PhD, an assistant professor at the University of Washington, and colleagues shared evidence that contact with nature is associated with increases in happiness, subjective well-being, positive affect, positive social interactions, and a sense of meaning and purpose in life, as well as decreases in mental distress. Other work suggests that when children get outside, it leaves a lasting impression. In a study of residents of Denmark, researchers used satellite data to assess people's exposure to green space from birth to age 10, which they compared with longitudinal data on individual mental health outcomes. The researchers examined data from more than 900,000 residents born between 1985 and 2003. They found that children who lived in neighborhoods with more green space had a reduced risk of many psychiatric disorders later in life, including depression, mood disorders, schizophrenia, eating disorders, and substance use disorder. For those with the lowest levels of green space exposure during childhood, the risk of developing mental illness was 55% higher than for those who grew up with abundant green space. Nature might also make us nicer to other people as well as to the planet. John Zielinski, PhD, a professor of psychology at Carleton University in Ontario, Canada, and his colleagues found that elementary school children acted more pro-socially to classmates and strangers after a field trip to a nature school than they did after a visit to an aviation museum. Those generous behaviors weren't attributed to students' moods, Zielinski and his colleagues found. So it wasn't simply that spending time in nature made them happier and therefore more giving. Another plausible, though unproven explanation, is the emotion of awe. There are some hints that awe is associated with generosity, and nature can be a way to induce awe, he says. One of the things that may come from awe is a feeling that the individual is part of a much bigger whole. End quote. Right there, they covered a couple of things that just came to me from my experience on the trail. One of which is that, of course, being in nature helps us feel better because we are animals who thrive from being in nature because we spent eons, our history, in nature. It is our natural place to be. And the unnaturalness of being inside is bound to have certain impacts on us. And the impacts of being in nature are bound to have certain beneficial impacts on us. And of course, this is now being proven out by science. And another thing they mentioned is the benefits of having that feeling, that emotion of awe. And the benefits that come from having that emotion, they said, were associated with generosity. And that's what I was talking about in terms of a sense of wonder that comes from looking at trees, from breathing in fresh air, from looking across at an ocean, from looking across a valley or canyon or any other inspiring natural view. So we can kind of get from our experience what science is now showing us is true. And to close off our show, we're going to listen to a TED Talk by Florence Williams. She's a journalist, author, and podcaster. She's a contributing editor at Outside Magazine and a freelance writer for the New York Times, New York Times Magazine, National Geographic, the New York Review of Books, and numerous other publications. And this is her talk on Making Spaces of Awe and Restoration.
I recently moved from a place that had a backyard that looks like this to one that looked like this. There are a lot of great things about cities, but access to nature isn't always one of them. Many days I felt like the closest thing I got to nature was looking at grainy cat videos on YouTube. I'm sure some of you can relate. Sometimes you don't realize how important something is to you until you lose it. I wasn't like Woody Allen, who once said, "I love nature, I just don't want any of it on me." I wanted it on me, and I missed it. When I moved for my husband's job from Boulder, Colorado to Washington, D.C., I wasn't too happy about it. But I was still surprised by how swiftly my sense of well-being plummeted. I got depressed, I was anxious, I felt irritable, my brain felt sluggish and dull. I had to get used to new sounds like overhead aircraft all the time, helicopters, and those ubiquitous leaf blowers that I hear all the time. But fortunately, shortly after I moved, I was given a dream assignment by Outside Magazine to go visit the national forests of Japan to write about an obscure practice called Shinrin-yoku, or forest bathing. This essentially involves just being on a trail, walking, sometimes sitting, sometimes just lying on a boulder, and letting nature pour into all of your senses. So perhaps imagine with me for a minute what this might be like. You're sitting there and you're hearing the birds and the crickets. You're smelling the rich loamy earth and maybe the scent of fresh pine trees. You can feel the breeze on your cheek and the moss under your feet. How do you think this makes you feel? Well, scientists in Japan wanted to answer precisely that question. And so in a series of experiments, they sent 84 stressed out college students to go hang out for 30 minutes in these forests, and then also to go hang out on a city street. And here's what they found. This is me doing one of the experiments. A 16% drop in the stress hormone cortisol, a 2% drop in blood pressure, a 4% drop in heart rate. This is among the forest visitors. None of that happened in the people who went to the city. And the people who went to the forest also reported less anxiety and better moods, whereas the opposite happened in the people who went to the city. So nature has superpowers for us. And there's even a dose effect. It looks like the more time you spend in nature, better things can happen. So in Japan, they sent some of these students, or some other people, some volunteers, to go spend 3 days at a forest lodge. And they found a 40% increase in an immune cell called natural killer cells. It's critical to the immune system. And when they went to vacation in the city, that didn't happen. So it's not just a vacation effect. There's something about nature. I became so intrigued by this story and by this science that I took another assignment from National Geographic. And this one sent me to a handful of other countries around the world studying this topic to improve the health of citizens, sometimes even going as far as to recommend nature as medicine. So in Japan, as we just saw, there are these forest therapy trails. They have 48 of them. Korea will have 37 healing forests by next year. These are entire forests. And to go along with that, they're training 500 healing rangers to lead programs for everyone from digital addicts to school bullies. The school bullies, by the way, take a train called the Happy Train from the city to the forest. Also programs for firefighters with PTSD and even prenatal women and cancer patients. I mean, it just goes on and on what they're doing there. I also went to Finland, and Finland has gone so far as to recommend, it's a very precise country, they've recommended a specific dosage of nature to ward off depression. And what they recommend, take note, they recommend 5 hours a month of being in nature, or a little over an hour a week. Now, Finland is really fortunate because it's a country covered with forests and coastlines and parks. But many parts of the world are not so lucky. Already, over half of us in the world live in cities. And by 2050, that proportion will be 70%. So making cities green and livable will be one of the greatest challenges of our century. How can cities and civic institutions make spaces of awe and restoration? The city of Wellington, New Zealand, has made a space of awe by designating and signposting a snorkel trail very close to downtown, where you can just jump in the water, swim around, and see things like octopus and butterfish and seahorses. How cool is that? Seattle offers low tide walks, where children love to see sun stars and moon snails. In Singapore, there are parks interspersed with public housing projects so that people from all over the city have access to nature. And the city also encourages architects and developers to incorporate butterfly-loving vertical gardens into corporate and residential towers. When my cab driver dropped me off at this hotel, he said how handy it was I was staying here because I could just wake up in the morning and start grazing. The University of California at Berkeley has created a space of awe by protecting one of the tallest hardwood groves in North America. And this is great because the students can go here to recover from stress, and psychologists at the university can study it happening. So one way to do this is they send students to go look up at this grove of trees for 1 minute. And they also sent another group to look up at a building on campus for 1 minute. And in a clever bit of trickery, a research assistant dropped a box of pens in front of each subject. So guess who helped her and picked up more pens? The people in the forest or the people looking at the building? If you guessed the forest, you were correct. And it only took 1 minute of them feeling awe to behave in a more generous way. So it looks like time outside in nature can also make us more creative. When we spend time outside in beautiful places, a part of our brain called the subgenual prefrontal cortex quiets down. And this is a part of the brain that's associated with negative, self-involved thoughts. A researcher at Stanford made the nature connection when he sent a group of subjects to go walk in a beautiful park in Palo Alto for 90 minutes. And he sent another group to go walk in a city street, and then he imaged their brains. And it was only the people who walked in the park who experienced this beneficial change. So nature can be so helpful to us in so many ways. It can also make us creative in small doses. For example, here's Facebook. And high-tech communities all over are now figuring out that if they incorporate green roofs and trails into their very structures, that this can benefit their business. We've known this for a long time. Everyone from Aristotle to Beethoven to Darwin, the Bronte sisters, Wordsworth, Einstein, the list goes on and on. So many people attribute walking in creative space, walking in these beautiful spaces, to being critical to their creative process. What happens, though, when we spend even more time in nature, as far as our brains and our psychology? We know that physiological changes happen, which we saw with the natural killer cells. But what happens kind of on a more psychological level? And this was something I was fascinated to actually witness when I met a woman named Tanya Herrera. She had just returned from two tours of Iraq, and she'd been badly injured in rocket grenade fire and also by a car bomb. She'd experienced a bad concussion. She'd lost the use of one of her arms. She experienced seizures, anxiety, depression. She had trouble performing simple tasks and even reading. She never wanted to leave her house because she felt like she was a prisoner in her own body. But when she'd been young, she participated in a program to take inner city kids out into nature. And she'd remembered that that had given her some comfort. So she signed up for a 6-day river trip down the Salmon River in Idaho. She and her other fellow warriors on this trip paddled and swam and slept under stars and talked in the camp around the campfire. And I had the privilege of watching them emerge from cocoons of sadness to full-bodied, full-sensory survivors helping each other, relishing their new friendships and the possibilities ahead. She said to me, "When I'm home, I feel overwhelmed. There's nothing to brace on, and I'm overwhelmed by bad thoughts and feelings. But when I'm out here, life is simple. There's something to brace on. There are good thoughts. There is balance." Wilderness advocate John Muir understood the power of wilderness to help heal our psyches. He wrote, "Between every two pine trees, there is a door leading to a new way of life." There is a simple recipe to improve the quality and meaning of our days, and it's to open Muir's door. Go outside. Go often. Thank you.
And that'll do it for this evening's show. I hope you take with you the feeling that being in nature can give you a new lease on life, but also take from this show the fact that wherever you are, if you open up your senses, your eyes, ears, nose, mouth, body, and mind, you have the opportunity to appreciate every moment like the piece of living art that it is, regardless of whether you're in your living room, your kitchen, or at a national park. I'll be with you again at the same time on the first and third Fridays of each month, barring the unforeseen. And on that note, I'd like to really thank Courtney Bozick for covering for me when I've had a lot of family medical issues that have been taking a lot of my attention. So thank you, Courtney. When I'm not here, stay tuned for Courtney's show, as well as other excellent natural alternatives programs with cutting-edge health, environmental, social issues, and even more every Friday at this time. For more information on Healthy Planet and our radio shows, email us at info@healthyplanetusa.org. You can also visit our website at www.healthyplanetusa.org. Until next time, stay strong, relax, make your voice heard in this world by continuing to speak up for what's right. Be kind to those around you, including our amazing four or multi-legged friends. And finally, remember to enjoy each moment of existence on this beautiful planet that we all share. Good night.
Our climate is changing. Making a few changes to your driving habits can cut tailpipe emissions and improve fuel efficiency. Drive smart. Go easy on the brakes and gas pedal. Get regular tune-ups by following your vehicle's maintenance schedule. Check your tire pressure. Combine as many activities and errands into one trip as possible. Reduce your carbon impact to the environment. Act now on climate change.
A stay in the hospital for people of all ages can be a stressful and challenging experience. But every day, teams of volunteers in UCLA's People Animal Connection, or PAC, make the lives of patients and their families better.
You see the patients get happier and more relaxed. They kind of forget that they're in a hospital bed.
The visits are provided to hospitalized patients without cost. Learn how you can get involved at uclahealth.org/PAC.